today. So thank you for being here today, and let's remember to be thankful people and thank the Lord for all he's done. I'm going to have a hard time. I don't know what's in these two crock pots, but man, it smells awful good. I don't have a fork, though. So glad you're. Yeah, well, it's going to growl. I purposely did not eat a very big breakfast, so. I've titled the message "Giving Thanks," and I will read Hebrews 13:15. We're not going there right now, but Hebrews 13:15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Father, we thank you for this time now where we pause and open your word and hear your truth preached. So give us ears to hear, Lord, and then give us mouths to open and feet to go and hands to do your will. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Sandy and I want to first and foremost wish every one of you a very happy Thanksgiving. And I trust that this week you all have a blessed day celebrating with friends and family or however, wherever you're going to celebrate. And if you have nowhere to go, you can come to 11 Clark Street. So we would love to have you that day. Just let us know and we'll put a little bit of water in the soup and we'll make sure that it goes a long way. But I don't know if all this stuff, we probably won't be hungry till Thursday. But thank you again and happy Thanksgiving to each one of you. So when we think of the word thanksgiving, thankfulness, the word thank with all the different suffixes, things that come at the end, let's go back to school, is found 138 times in the Bible. Okay? So if my research is correct, okay, 138 times. I would say that being thankful is a very important topic in the Bible. If you have, you know, that many verses dealing with thanksgiving, thankfulness, and so I would say that it's very important. We truly have so much to be thankful for. We really do. And it's interesting that the Bible tells us, though, and you don't have to turn here, but in Romans 1:21, the Bible tells us that not being thankful leads us down a path of darkness and ultimately abandonment from God. The Bible says they were unthankful. And if you follow that, you know, that train of thought of Paul in Romans chapter 1, part of being abandoned by God and part of the darkness that comes is because people aren't thankful, right? And you know, we have so much to be thankful for. So much. And God truly deserves our thanksgiving. He truly deserves our praise. He truly deserves our worship. But today, I want to preach on giving thanks, and in particular, as we read already, we'll be going back there in a moment, but from Hebrews 13:15, I want to talk about giving thanks as a continual sacrifice of praise to God. And in the context of Hebrews 13:15, I'd like to shed some light on the New Testament doctrine that is called the priesthood of the believer. Okay? The priesthood of the believer. Because it's very interesting that Hebrews mentions the giving of a sacrifice and the offering of praise and thanksgiving to God. And I want to explain to you the Old Testament priesthood and then the New Testament priesthood that has thankfully replaced the old. Okay? So open your Bibles to Exodus, second book in your Bible, or flip your phone or whatever you have. Exodus 38 and verse 21. I'll be there in a minute. But the Old Testament priesthood. Now, we know that there were 12 tribes in the nation of Israel. And of those 12 tribes, God chose one tribe that would be and serve as the priests. And that was the tribe of Levi, one of Jacob's sons. One of his 12 sons was called Levi, and his family were called the Levites. So of that family, God said, this tribe will be my priests. They were the ones who served as high priest and the regular priest. They were the ones who served as the people who would care for the tabernacle and the temple. And so in Exodus 38, verse 21, the Bible says, this is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites. So it was the Levites. So the Levites, no other tribe could minister in the priesthood. I was reading this morning in my own personal devotions and about Saul and King Saul, the first king, started out so good. But this morning I read the chapter where Samuel was a little delayed in coming. So Saul took upon himself to offer a sacrifice, which only the Levites could do. And when Samuel came, he said to Saul, what are you doing? Well, you were late. So I forced myself to make this, and of course, right there, then and there, Samuel said to Saul, the kingdom is taken from you and your family forever because of your disobedience. This is very serious. No other tribe could minister in the priesthood. They were the ones who set up and took down the tabernacle. They were the ones who ministered within the holy place. Remember, the tabernacle and the temple was divided into two parts. And there was the holy place, and then there was the holy of holies. And in that holy place, in between the holy place and the holy of holies, there was a veil that separated the two. And on this side of the veil, in the holy place, there were three articles in there. There was the table of showbread, where every week 12 fresh loaves of bread were placed there as an offering to God. It showed how God provided for the 12 tribes of Israel. There was the altar of incense right before before the veil. And that altar of incense was always to be burning. That represented the prayers that ascend to God. And then on the other side was the candle, the light. And those lights were always to be burning, showing that God is the light to Israel. And then, the taking down of the tabernacle, the moving it, the carrying of it. Remember when David became king and David wanted to bring the ark back to Jerusalem but he wanted to bring it to Jerusalem, which was a good thing. But they're bringing it, they're rejoicing, they're celebrating, and the ox shook and the cart shook. And the ark was about to fall off, and somebody reached out and touched the ark, and he died. Why did he die? He wasn't a Levite. They weren't moving it the way God did. David got very upset, and God told David, do what's right. Have the Levites move it. And they did, and there was rejoicing. But only the Levites were allowed to be priests in those days. If you were born into another tribe, even if you wanted to be a priest, you couldn't be a priest. That's not the way that God had it set in those days. And within the family of the Levites, Aaron's line, Aaron was Moses' brother, Aaron's family, and from that point on, Aaron's family would be the high priest. They were the ones, the high priest was the one and the only one who is allowed inside the Holy of Holies, okay? The veil separated what was inside the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, okay? Inside the Ark of the Covenant was a jar of manna was the Ten Commandments, right? And the mercy seat set on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and the Shekinah glory was there. So once a year, and only once a year, the high priest would offer a sacrifice for himself and offer a sacrifice for his people, and he would go into the Holy of Holies. And you'll read, if you read, we find that in Leviticus chapter 16, but if you read elsewhere in the Bible where they talk about the garments of Aaron, the garments of the high priest, on the bottom were bells. Why would there be bells on the bottom of the garments? Well, that way, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, they would hear him walking around. And history tells us they would tie a rope to his leg. Because if he went in there improperly, if he went in there without first offering a offering for his sin and the sin of the people, God would strike him dead. And you, as a priest, couldn't go in there and get him out. So if the bell stopped ringing, now I don't know if that ever happened. I don't know if history, but that is the reasoning behind that. It was serious. Only one person, once a year on the Day of Atonement, a Day of Atonement, allowed into the Holy of Holies. Keep that thought somewhere where you don't put it in your part of your mind where you forget things. I have a lot of that part of my mind. But put that in your mind where you can grab that in about 10-15 minutes, okay? So what about us? Let's all assume, well, we don't have to assume, none of us here are Levites, but let's assume we're living in the time of Israel when the tabernacle and the temple is up and there's a priesthood. None of us are Levites. We cannot go into the tabernacle. We can only go as far as the door. Okay? And inside the door, there is a courtyard. And in that courtyard, the first thing you come to is an altar. And after that altar is a brazen laver, a brazen sink where the priest would wash. You would bring your sacrifice to the door. You would lay your hand on it, confess your sin, and the priest would kill the sacrifice. He would then take the sacrifice into the courtyard, and he would present that sacrifice for you. Okay? You weren't allowed into the courtyard. We weren't allowed into the courtyard. Now later, when Herod built his temple, there was the courtyard for the Gentiles. There was a courtyard for the women. There was a courtyard for the men. But then there was where the sacrifice, nobody could be there but Levites. They were not allowed within the walls of the tabernacle. The door was as close as they could get. So the priesthood was very important because the priesthood would bring the sacrifice of the people to God. Okay? So, prior to the Lord Jesus Christ, if I wanted to sacrifice to God, I needed to bring my sacrifice to a priest. But what did I say? And you can find all of this in Leviticus chapter 1 as well. What did I say, though, that I was going to preach on today? The priesthood of the believer. Something radically changed when Jesus came. Okay? We have a division in our Bible called the Old Testament and the New Testament, okay? Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, right? And we no longer live under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. We live under the New Testament. So, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Now remember we said before that of the 12 tribes, only the tribe of Levi could be a priest. Notice what it says today, Galatians chapter 3. Notice the community of the believers. Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for we are all what? One in Christ Jesus. So, when you and I come to Christ, he no longer sees slaves or slave owners. That was very big in Paul's day, right? There's no more employers, employees. There's no more free people and servants. There's no more rich people, poor people. Guess what? There's no more, now in Christ now, we're not, I know it's a crazy world we live in, but there's no more male or female. We're one in Christ. Spiritually, we are all what? One. God doesn't have favorites. God doesn't favor one group over another. God doesn't say, I like men better than women. I like rich people better than poor people. I like New York Giant fans better than Patriot fans. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. He loves all of us equally because we're one in Christ. No more tabernacle. No more temple. No longer God dwelling within a building. But where does God dwell now? In the believer, right? Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. And where is the tabernacle of God now? Right here. God equally dwells within you, whether you're a male or a female. Isn't that awesome? You know, people talk about what Western culture has done for women. Christianity has done more for women than anything else, okay? And you know, Christianity lifted, look how women are treated in Arabic countries, you know, and whatnot. But Christianity, we're all one. And ladies, can I say something? You also are priests to God. Not priestesses, priests, okay? And we'll talk about that. There's no separation in the body of Christ as there was in the 12 tribes of Israel. We are all priests. What does that mean? Well, before we look at that, I just want you to also say, see from Hebrews. Now, go back to Hebrews, but this time go to chapter 4. Who was the high priest in Moses' day? Aaron, right? And his family became the high priest. So do we have a high priest today? We do. And Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that our high priest is none other than the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 4 verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where can you and I come boldly? To the throne. Okay? Where was the physical representation of the throne of God in the Old Testament dispensation? The Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, right? Look what happened in Matthew 27 when Jesus died. Matthew 27. This is not, you know, a lot of people read their Bible and they say, oh, that's interesting. This is not one of those interesting statements. This is a critically vital statement for us to understand. Verse 50 of Matthew 27 says, when Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, or rent in two, or torn in two, from the top to the bottom. Okay? What did the veil of the temple separate? The holy place from the holy of holies. who was the only person allowed in the Holy of Holies, the high priest. Okay? I've yet to find, I would love to find some documentation on how the priests explained this. You know, after Jesus died, imagine the next priest coming in and he's not the high priest and he's looking at the Ark of the Covenant. Imagine the panic that must have, who tore this? How is it ripped from the top to the bottom? Who's our high priest? Jesus Christ. What did he do when he died? He presented himself as an offering. We're told he ascended into heaven. He took his sacrifice to God. God accepted it. And the temple veil was torn in two. There's a new way to God. God, Jesus has opened up so that each one of us have direct access, Hebrews 4, to what? The throne of grace. And how can we come? Boldly. Imagine how Aaron must have went in each year. You think Aaron boldly walked into the Holy of Holies? No. Now you and I can come, that boldness is not in anything of ourselves. It's not like, here I am, God. It's, we can boldly go there because Christ has opened up the way for us. And you and I, as priests, have a privilege that the other priests did not have in the Old Testament. They couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. But you, as not only a priest, but as a child of God, as a joint heir with God, can go to the very throne room. Most of you were not even born when President Kennedy was president. But there's a picture of JFK Jr. underneath the Resolute desk, right? Who's his father at the time? The President of the United States. And here's this little boy playing in the Oval Office. It's not the best, but that's a good illustration. His father, the most powerful man on planet Earth, the President of the United States, his son can come in the office anytime. More so, our God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I can boldly, because of what Jesus did, come to the very throne room of God. Never get a busy signal. I raised two boys and I wanted to be available as much as I could for my boys. But you know, there's sometimes you're not available. But it's never the case with God. Look at Matthew chapter 10. No, Hebrews chapter 10, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 10. My introduction's almost over. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, the Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the what? Holiest. By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us, what's it say? Draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And all of the imagery of the laver and the washing and God wanting his priest to come purely, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, I can enter into the holiest of holies. And I can come boldly. And I can enter there through the veil. And we can go where no one but one man was allowed to go once a year. Why? Because we're priests. Because of our high priest. So, Pastor Dan, how do you know we're priests? I'm glad you asked that question. Look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. What's the next phrase? A holy priesthood. Think about it. The temple, right? A holy, a temple, a holy place. We are, what does it say here we are? We're lively, we're living stones. And all of us together in this local church make up the habitation of God. God no longer dwells in a temple made with hands. God dwells in a temple made with redeemed people. And he dwells. We're living stones, it says in verse 5. A holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Skip down to verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Not only are we a priesthood, we're a royal priesthood. We don't have time to develop that thought in today's message. But we're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. And some of you folks are peculiar. But that word means peculiar. That word literally means rare or valuable. We are valuable in God's sight. That word has changed a lot in the English language. But it means valuable. That we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Now, and we won't be there long, I promise. Now go to Hebrews 13. With that in mind, let us understand that every one of us are priests, right? Male, female, young, old, rich, poor, tall, short, fat, skinny, whatever we are. We're all, you know, bald, whatever. God loves us. And Jesus has allowed us to be priests. He's our high priest. And he has opened up the way to God so that you and I can come to God with our sacrifices. And how do we come to God? Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, by him, therefore. How come we have access to God? By him. Who's the him? Jesus. By him. Because of Jesus' death on Calvary. Because of his sinless life. Because of his taking my sin and your sin upon himself and dying in our place. And his sin appeasing the wrath. His sacrifice appeasing the wrath of God against my sin. Let us, by him therefore, let us, every one of us, the priesthood, let us what? Offer the sacrifice of praise to God, what? Continually. Now, in the Greek, here's some more grammar. This is present active tense. So what does this mean? I am to continually be offering this sacrifice of praise. Not just seasonal. Oops, November. You know, we got to get out the pumpkins and we got to be thankful. And, you know, continually. Thankful. Continually. I think it's great to set aside a day in our nation to be thankful. I think that's wonderful. I'm not downplaying. Thanksgiving is my all-time favorite holiday for a lot of reasons. But it's a great time for us to pause and reflect. But you know how often we are to be thankful? Continually. What happened in Romans 1 at the start of the message? People were not thankful and their foolish heart became darkened. Ungrateful. You ever meet an ungrateful person? Think they're owed everything? Not fun to be around. Thankful. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. A sacrifice of praise. This takes us back to the Old Testament economy. It takes us back to a thank offering. Where people, you know, their sin was, you know what? I just want to thank God. Here's an offering, God. Thank you. Just a thank offering. And notice it says, offer the sacrifice of praise to God. God is the object of our worship. God is the object of our thanksgiving. For He alone is worthy. Who does the unbeliever thank?
Themselves.
I mean, it's kind of empty, isn't it? You know? I mean, there's nothing wrong with thanking a person who has helped you or done something for you. I got the greatest gift in the world yesterday from my aunt and uncle. I got a 6-pound log of pork roll from New Jersey. You know me and pork roll if you know anything about my Facebook posts. I love pork roll. And if you don't understand about pork roll, you're not from Jersey, you'll never understand what I'm talking about. 6 pounds! And I was very thankful to them. And it's good to be thankful. But, I say it half-heartedly, but, you know, how much better is Jesus than a gift from a friend? How much better is what God has given to us than our gifts from our friends? What is this sacrifice of praise that we are to offer to God continually? This is the fruit of our lips. This phrase literally means the product of our speaking and singing. It's good to verbalize, thank you, God, for thank you. We sang thanks to God, right? The young people sang about thanking God. And as an old person who lived in the Old Testament, sure, they were to be thankful, and sure, they were thanking God, but they brought their sacrifice just so far, and somebody else had to bring it to them. I could go directly to my Heavenly Father, Abba Father, and I don't have to stop at a door, and I don't have to wait for a priest. I could go directly and give my offering to my Heavenly Father. Isn't that a blessing? And why don't, you know, we think about this enough, myself included. Giving thanks to His name. To acknowledge God alone as the source of all our blessings and provisions. You may say, wait a minute, Pastor, I go to work to get my money to buy my food. Okay, you do. Thank God for a job. Thank God for the ability to work. Thank God for a car that gets you there before the rust gets it, you know. Thank God for, you know, strength and ability. Thank God for store shelves that are stocked. Imagine a lot of parts of the world don't have what we have. We have so many things to be thankful for. Romans 12, and I close. We're priests, every one of us. Romans 12, 1, very familiar verse. I beseech you, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. You know, when the lamb came and it was killed, died for the sin of that person that brought it, and that blood covered that person's sin. But our Lamb of God died for us already. He covered our sin. So I bring myself now as a living sacrifice. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Do with me as you will. Because of the Lord Jesus, we're all priests. And because of the Lord Jesus, we as priests have direct access to the Father. Are you taking advantage of this access? Are you taking advantage of this access not only in prayer, but in offering, offering of thanksgiving. Are you bringing your sacrifice to God? Are you giving him your body? Are you bringing him your tithes and offerings? Are you bringing him the continual offering of praise? Are you bringing him the fruit of your lips, the continual thanks to his name? Thanks be unto God, for he alone deserves our praise. So, again, as I said, I love Thanksgiving. And I love this time of the year. And I love this, time where family and friends get together. And it's a time to sit down. It's a time to be thankful. But we should be thankful every day. And this feeling of Thanksgiving, you know, as the holiday approaches, wouldn't it be great to have that all year long? Thanking God for all he's done. And just being putting yourself in a mood of thanks continually. Let's thank God not only today, but every day. Father, help us to be a thankful people. Help us to realize we have so very much to be thankful for. And thank you for the access we have, the access to the very throne room of God. And make us thankful people. In Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things we're going to do here is we're going to sing hymn number 495. We're going to sing